Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidinil mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathira. Amma ba'du, faqad qala Allahu tabaraka wa ta'ala, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام, most respected brothers and sisters at the madrasa, before I continue with the Hadith Sharif which we are discussing over the past few weeks, it just comes to mind that yesterday I received a letter, and in fact quite a few recently, from students of madrasas, especially those who are interested in the reformation and change. And they all seem to be expressing a concern as to how they should spend their holidays. They say that in the madrasa, the environment is different. It is more conducive to practicing upon Islam and Sharia. But when it comes to the holidays, then it becomes very difficult because the temptations are great, the distractions and the attractions are plentiful, the entertainment scene increases. Parents, friends, cousins, aunts, grannies, grandfathers, everybody seems to be heading for pleasure lands. So what do they do? How do they safeguard themselves? It is indeed a question that is worrying, because they are interested in changing their lives. They want to connect themselves with Allah Ta'ala. They want to bring about a change in their practices, in their actions. They want to enjoy peace of mind. And that peace of mind which they were enjoying, they don't want it to be shattered. So what do they do? So brothers and sisters, what we have to fully understand is that the environment does not change a Muslim. If we are Muslims, if we have submitted ourselves to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's will, if we have committed ourselves to practicing upon Allah's and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings, and if we have the akhirat in front of us, that we have to head for the akhirat, there is no question of remaining in this world forever. And that every entertainment, every pleasure, every piece of fun and enjoyment, everything will one day come to an end. So if we have those things in front of us, then the environment does not frighten a Muslim. Hum ko zamana badal sake ye zamane mein dam nahi. ہم کو زمانہ بدل سکے یہ زمانے میں دم نہیں, زمانہ ہم سے ہے ہم زمانے سے نہیں. حضرت مفتی شفیع صاحب رحمت اللہ علیہ اسے سے that the environment changing us, it is not possible. What strength, what courage, what himmat does the زمانہ have to change us? زمانہ ہم کو بدل سکے یہ زمانے میں دم نہیں. Zamana hum se hai, hum zamane se nahi. We don't follow the zamana. We don't see the times. We don't see what the changes are taking place according to the seasons in the country. We don't look at what is a holiday season and what is a normal season. For a Muslim, all seasons are the same. There will be differences, there's no doubt. But if a person is a Muslim, then that zamana will not change him, he will change the zamana. The environment will not change him, he will change that environment. And it is not difficult if a person is committed. But the problem arises when we do not have everyone thinking in that same direction. That is where the problem lies. That if all members of the household are thinking in one direction, if all are on the same wavelength, then there is no problem at all. But if you have a radio and there are five different people, or a television with all the different channels, and there are five different people or 10 different people in that home, and each one wants to switch on to a certain channel, and there's only one television set there. And everyone at the same time wants to switch on to the channel of his choice or her choice. Then we all can understand that nobody will see anything. There will be fights, there will be quarrels, there will be arguments. The same with the radio. If there's one radio and I want to listen to BBC, you want to listen to Voice of America, and somebody wants to listen to FM, the local station broadcasting the news or something of that nature, and if everybody at the same time wants to listen to different things, then on that one radio it's not going to be possible. Everybody has to be thinking on the same wavelength. The same applies to our Islamic way of life, that if all of us think in that same direction, and especially here in this majlis, I'm talking to those who are interested in Islam and who are interested in enjoying that peace of mind that we are always talking about, that what is that sweetness of iman that we are talking about? What is that noor in the heart that we are always talking about? I want to taste the enjoyment of that, and I would like you to taste it and the whole ummah. So therefore, I'm talking to you. The very fact that on a Sunday night you are leaving your commitments and coming here, and especially after a long day of so many different kinds of programs, it shows that there is a taluq that you have with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you didn't have that taluq, then you would have been one of those that's in one of those places where Allah Ta'ala's ghazab and His wrath and His anger is descending. At this very moment in time, in this very moment in time tonight, if you have to just picture, then what is not happening? There are thousands of people committing adultery at this very moment in time. Thousands of people are queued up at the cinemas. Thousands of people are in all other kind of haram entertainment and pleasures. So to forsake all that and to come into the house of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it is nothing else except that ta'alluq that we have got with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Although it may be very weak, that the moment we come out, many a times we again go astray. But the fact is that there is that ta'alluq, and all we require is to make it more strong. So as far as the holidays are concerned, the holidays must become holy days. It does not mean that you do not enjoy yourself. I have repeatedly mentioned that in my majlises, and I will go on repeating, because that is one of the major concerns of people, that the moment you come closer to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or you give up haram, then life becomes boring. Life does not become boring, it becomes very much enjoyable. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives you that contentment, that peace, that satisfaction in the heart, that all those people who are so-called enjoying themselves do not know what it is all about. Because at the end of their enjoyment, there is nothing but pain, there is nothing but depression, there is nothing but restlessness, there is nothing but all kinds of quarrels, arguments and worries. And there is nothing else but purchasing the wrath and the anger of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And the people who are enjoying themselves, entertaining themselves, within the limits of Sharia, within the boundaries of Sharia, within the framework of the Quran and the Sunnah, then in their pleasure also, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's pleasure lies. Because they are doing it according to the Quran and Sunnah, so Allah Ta'ala will give them enjoyment in their food, in their drink, with their wives, with their children. If they are going for a picnic also within that framework of Sharia, it will be enjoyable. There will be peace, there will be satisfaction. But if the person is going to violate Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's ahkam, then definitely the person will make his life restless. So there will definitely be a plentiful of entertainment scenes, especially during the July holidays. And when the December holidays come, then we also see it. But the newspapers will be always inviting towards this entertainment scene and that entertainment scene. Now this person who has had some kind of contact with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and some kind of relationship with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, now when he sees the whole crowd moving in the other direction, so the person also gets carried away. And then shaitan brings very strongly that thought into the mind that these people are enjoying themselves. And I wish I had not adopted a beard in my life, and I wish I had not worn a topi, and I wish I didn't have a kurta, and I wish I was not also known amongst those people who are frequenting the masjid 5 times a day, and I wish I was not known as a person who is righteous and pious, so that I could also have been part of that scene and enjoying myself. Now that is the danger line. The moment we begin to feel very strongly. One is just the thought coming into the mind. Then read Amantu Billahi wa Rasuli, read Astaghfirullah, read La Hawla wa La Quwwata Illa Billah, read something, and after that occupy your mind in something else. In the holidays, this is the important thing that we must keep ourselves occupied. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahab Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, he said, agar deen ka koi kaam tumse nahi ban padta, to kam az kam dunya hi ka kaam karo. That in your holidays, or not only holidays, other times too. So if you can't do anything of deen, more than your faraz namaz and your wajib namaz and your sunnat muakkada, if you can't do anything more than that, then he say, come, keep yourself occupied in your worldly activities, so that even that will keep you away from sins and will keep you away from haram. So zamana humko badal sake ye zamane mein dam nahi, zamana hum se hai, hum zamane se nahi. We have to change that environment of the home. We have to change that environment wherever we are. And don't let the environment change us. Those thoughts will come, so we have to fight it. We have to go on a diet from those things that are inviting us. Especially with the newspapers at present, the amount of filth that comes in there, it is not even permissible. In fact, it is haram to keep some of those pages open or on our tables or in our lounges. Totally haram. We all know what comes in there. Again, I repeat, I'm not saying it's totally haram to read a newspaper. What I'm saying is that the type of filth that is coming into our homes, then if we are going to just leave it, especially when we got young women there, young girls and young boys, and ourselves also, we are preventing the angels of rahmat from coming into those homes. So if we have to buy it for some reason to keep up to date with some news of the world, which is very little nowadays, then tear up. I repeat, I mentioned in some other majlis also, that you have to tear up those pages, even if that newspaper looks like a torn piece of paper after that. There's nothing left there. But we have to look stupid and foolish for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If we are going to look stupid and foolish, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give us respect and honor. And if we are going to look very, very modern-minded and broad-minded people for the pleasure of the people, Allah ta'ala will hand us over to those people, and those same people will one day criticize us, and they will mock us, and they will be the cause of our misery. When did we hear in the Islamic history, or when did we hear in the history of South Africa, in the history of Muslims, that in 1 week you have 5 girls who are bearing illegitimate children? In just 1 week, in just one small locality. There are so many others, but I'm talking about those which the doctors are aware of, or which has come directly to us. And interference of all kinds that are taking place. What in the masjid, what must we say? It's so disturbing. And then still we say that there's brainwashing taking place. Indeed, if that brainwashing doesn't take place, then we will also face that miserable situation. Brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws, cousins. That's why they always say they are cousins. They are 16, 18-year-old boys and 16, 18-year-old girls. They are cousins. Why should you object to their intermingling? It sounds very odd. It looks very odd. They are family members. They are like brothers and sisters. They grew up like brothers and sisters. When it comes to the marriage of those same people, when that cousin becomes interested in the other cousin, then at that time they say that they are cousins. What is wrong with marriage? And at other time they will say they are brothers and sisters. They grew up as brothers and sisters. Even to the extent that fathers with daughters. This is all this, the effect of this haram television programs and these newspaper articles which they are reading in abundance. So we have to change it. There definitely will be a pain on the heart. That I'm not denying. There will be, because others all around are going to be indulging in some kind of sinful activities. So there will be that pain on the heart that will come. Not the physical heart, the spiritual heart. There will be that some pain. But when that pain comes on the heart, then أَنَا عِنْدَ مُنْكَسَرَةِ الْقُلُوبِ Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, I am in those broken hearts. When those broken hearts, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sees, he becomes extremely pleased. And what do we know what Allah ta'ala then gives to those broken hearts? If we only get a little bit of that taste, then all these things will look filthy. But the problem is, the moment we come out of it a little, we want to go back to it. We come out of it a little, we want to go back to it. In our days, when we were young, nowadays our youth don't even know that there was such a time also. And most of you who are in the 50s and 60s, you all know very well that there was a time when we had the bucket system. They used to call the removal of the night soil, that the stool used to be carried away in buckets and gone and dumped somewhere. And when those people used to come around collecting those buckets, then we used to close the windows tight and hold our nostrils. And we least realized that that was all the filth from our own bodies. And they were doing us a favor of removing it, for if they only went on strike, lucky there were no unions in those days. If only the unions made them go on strike for 2 weeks, then we all should have realized. So now if a person was working with that company, with that department, and then after some time, he was given a job in a perfume shop. So now in that perfume shop, after a few months, now his nostrils, sinuses became used to the fragrant smell of perfumes. But if this person says that, no, but that smell that I used to get from that stool, so he carries a little in a bottle, and every little while, every 1 hour, he goes out of that perfume shop and inhales a little and then closes the bottle and leaves it in his pocket again, then will he ever get cured of that sickness? He will have to remain in that perfume shop and forget about that filth. Then only he will get cured. So in the same way, these majlises of zikr, majlises of ta'lim, these bayans, these waz, tabligh, all these type of works, it is there to take us out and not to return to it. When we return to it, that is where again we lose out completely. It is like the person that is putting up a building, when it's just about completion, again he demolishes it. Then again he starts, and when it's about completion, he demolishes it. And this person will never complete that building. Or the person whose car was smashed, he sends it to the panel beater, and the moment it comes out, again he goes and smashes it. He carries on like that. It gives him enjoyment, fun and pleasure to do that. Then that person is sick. So we get somewhere, but then we don't want to go further. We just want to stop there. Whereas it is not far after that. The first step was to come out of that environment, which alhamdulillah all of you have done and we have done, is that even for a little while we have come out of that environment and we have come into the environment of the masjid, into the environment of deen, into the environment of zikr, into the environment of ta'lim, into the environment of tabligh. Now all those things, you come out. Now when you come out there, then you just have to go in that same direction now. And don't give up. Again, that example comes to mind that if you have to bore a hole for water, then in the early stages, there's nothing that's going to come out of it except dust and sand and stone. When you're going to dig, then for the first few meters, that is what you are going to get. Now, if that person after 50 feet or 100 feet, he says that, now I'm tired, because only dust and sand coming out from here, and only stones, then that person will never strike water. But if that person goes on digging, then after some time, there's going to be water mixed with sand. But still that water is not sufficient, it's not good enough to drink. That person, he can't drink that water. Now too, if he gives it up, because some people go to a certain height, when they begin getting some enjoyment and some taste of that ibadat, of that zikr, of that tilawat, and they also mention it, that Mawlana, at one time I was indulging in this sin and that sin, and I didn't know that what enjoyment and pleasure there was in getting close to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now they are somewhere there. But then, if they give it up there too, then they haven't struck water. They must just dig a little more, and then when they strike water, then there will be billions of liters of water there. It will quench their thirst and the thirst of the world. And the enjoyment and the pleasure they will get, they will not only enjoy it themselves, but they will even pass it on to others. So some of us, we get there, and then we give it up. We want to go backwards again. So all it needs is a little bit of strength, a little bit of courage, a little bit of himmat, to change that environment within our homes. To whatever extent we can change it, we work and we change. Of course, we do not go into the home where we know that there are others also living in that same home and they have got those bad habits, and now we are changing our direction. So we say, either you change, or I'm going to break this TV and I'm going to throw it out, and I'm going to hit you, and I'm going to beat you, and I'm going to do this and do that. Not that. That is not the method. those over whom we have some authority, some control, then we invite them with wisdom, we tell them nicely, we take them out, even if it means a little bit of pressure on them. And with the others, you look for the right opportunity to make the nasihat. And sometimes if you feel that at this moment, if I'm going to tell this person to give up this, then he is going to make such a statement that at present he is indulging in haram, he will go completely out of the pale of Islam, he will commit kufr. Then at that time the nasihat is to keep quiet and make dua in the heart. But the whole thing is that we must not consider ourselves as superior to that person even at that time of making nasihat. The reason why our nasihats are not having an effect is that when we are making nasihat to that person, we consider that person lower than ourselves. We consider that person as genuine Jahannami and ourselves as genuine Jannatis. We consider ourselves as having received a guarantee from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that you will definitely die on Iman and you will definitely go into Jannatul Firdaus. And this person, he is definitely going to go to Jahannam. Now when we are going to look down upon the person and make tabligh, or when we are going to make him nasihat, then definitely it is not going to have an effect. In fact, it can have a reverse effect, adverse effect. So even at that time, we must just think that, Ya Allah, whatever you have blessed me with, it is your ni'mat, it is your gift. If you had not blessed me with this change, then I too would have been, I could have been worse than them. In fact, all of us have come from some background or the other, and immediately we should picture which background we came from. So we should make shukr to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and with that pain in the heart, with that affection, with that sympathy, with that love, then we make nasiha that, Ya Allah, I want this person to come out. I want him to also enjoy that closeness of yours, that marifat of yours, that yaqeen of yours. I want him to enjoy your ni'mats in this world, in the qabr, in the akhirat. And oh Allah, my iman cannot be strong and solid until I don't desire for the others what I desire for myself. So just as I desire it for myself, oh Allah, I'm desiring it for this brother of mine also. Change the condition of his heart. If you could have changed the kuffar and the mushrikeen of Makkah, who were thirsty for the blood of my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. They stoned him in Taif, they stoned him in Uhud, they threw intestines on his back, and they put thorns in his path, and they, what they didn't do to him. But you changed the conditions of their heart, and those same people became radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. You became pleased with them, they were pleased with you. If you could change the hearts of kuffar and mushrikeen through the ages, then oh Allah, what is it difficult for you to change the heart of this Muslim sister of mine, of this Muslim brother of mine, of this father of mine, of this mother of mine? Ya Allah, what is the heart? For you it is between your two fingers. You can turn it in whichever direction you wish to. Ya Allah, change the direction of their hearts and make sins disliked to them. Put the hatred of sin into their hearts and give them your muhabbat, give them your marifat, and give them a taste and an enjoyment and that noor. Then you see what will happen. With those du'as, that person will change more than with those nasihas that we'll be making. But there must be that dard-e-dil. You must have that feeling, and then you must say. Therefore it is said that when you see a person in sins, then that du'a is actually when you see somebody that is sick. But even then you read that du'a. Alhamdulillah allazi aafani mimma btalaka bihi wa fazzalani ala kathirin mimman khalaqa tafzeela. That when you see somebody sick, then of course you don't read that dua loudly in front of him to show that I'm quite happy that Allah Ta'ala got you involved and not me. That's what it'll mean. Make dua for his health first, and then after making dua for the person's health, then in your mind softly you say, Alhamdulillah allazi aafani mimma btalaka bihi, which in effect means that you are making shukr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, you are glorifying him, you are praising him, that he gave us protection from that sickness in which this person is caught. This sickness with which this person is suffering, Allah Ta'ala gave us protection. And of his creation of so many people, Allah Ta'ala gave us fazilat. So when these people are queued up outside the cinema, or when they are looking at those filthy movies, or when they are indulging in any haram, then at that time we should also make that dua that, Ya Allah, we are glorifying you and praising you that you saved us from this sickness in which this person is mubtala. Because that's a sickness also. One is a physical sickness and this is a spiritual sickness. And the physical ailment, it will end with death. After death, we didn't hear of anybody. The person died and we said, look for the best heart specialist now. Or the person died and we say he was suffering from stones in his kidneys, so let's have it removed now before we bury him. Did we hear of anybody looking for the urologist after death? So that is a sickness which will end with death. Someday or the other, everybody has to die. Allah Ta'ala will not question him that why did you die with a stone problem or why did you die of heart attack. But this sickness, this spiritual sickness, it is leading him to Jahannam. It is going to bring him suffering. It is going to bring him pain. How concerned we are when we were reading the news of what was happening to our Muslim brothers and sisters in Kosovo and so many other parts of the world. Then how much of pain there was in our hearts and feeling, and we had so much of organizations making an effort to collect some food, some monies to send over to them or assist them and help them, which is of course our duty and we should have been doing. So why did we have that feeling? Because we said they are our brothers, they are our sisters, they are Muslims, they've got Iman in their hearts. So we were so concerned about their physical health. That is what we were really concerned about. If you really look at it, the money, the food, the clothing and all these things was going to assist them physically. They will wear the clothes on their bodies, they will buy food with that money and they will eat, or they will put up a house and they will live in there. So everything will be for the protection of this body. And in this world, since we need the body also, therefore it's our duty to assist for the protection of the body also. But then, they will still die someday or the other. After having given them whatever we can, it doesn't mean that now they are protected from death. But when it comes to amal, when it comes to evil deeds and actions, when it comes to haram, then those diseases of the heart, they go with the person and they cause him immense problem in the grave, in the akhirat. So where is our concern then for that? So I repeatedly say this, that we have to go on a diet. Without that, it's not going to work. That diet is that even if a certain percentage of certain things may be halal and permissible in certain actions, but if it is going to lead to haram, then we stay away from it. We refrain from it. Try it out for 40 days and then see. For the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala it must be. It must not be so that we get an enjoyment, so that we get a pleasure, so that we get ecstasy. One person was enjoying such a high in his ibadat after giving up all the sins and after following those mamulat and things like that, that for about 2 weeks the person had a great amount of enjoyment, satisfaction, and the person was in a sort of different world. But then suddenly it stopped, completely stopped. Although the person was still doing the right things and still staying away from sins, it completely stopped. This is why the person needs a sheikh to guide the person. Otherwise there are such situations that the person will not know what to do. So now the sheikh will tell the person that you don't have to be worried. You are doing the right thing, alhamdulillah, carry on. It doesn't mean Allah has become displeased with you. Read Surah Wadduha and see. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, there was a whole period of 3 years which is called the period of Fatrat al-Wahi. No Wahi came. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to go on the mountain and at that time he used to think of jumping from the mountain, and the angel used to stop him and prevent him from doing so. Why? Because he used to think that my Allah has become displeased with me. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not concerned about anything else. He was only concerned that my Allah must not become displeased with me. The whole world can become displeased, but my Allah must not become displeased. Laakh aaye musibat to parwa nahi, laakh toote sitam uska shikwa nahi. Laakh aaye musibat to parwa nahi, laakh toote sitam uska shikwa nahi. Chahe badle zamana nahi uska gham, aap badle to apna thikana nahi. Aap badle to apna thikana nahi. Oh Allah, if you change, then I will have no thikana. The world can change, people can change. And this is a world full of hypocrisy, full of cheat, full of deceit. You cannot trust any person in a hurry. There's so much of hypocrisy. Every day we get cases of how friends have deceived friends, brothers have deceived brothers, and parents are complaining of children having taken their property. So every day there are these type of stories. So people will change, but if Allah Ta'ala does not change, then we have got nothing to be worried about. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his only concern was that why did Allah Ta'ala stop this wahi for so long? That was his concern. So to assure him that Allah is not displeased with him, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave him assurance in such a beautiful way. Alam yajidka yateeman fa'awa, wa wajadaka zallan fahada, wa wajadaka a'ilan fa'aghna. If we have to go into the tafsir of that, then it will just continue inshallah some other night. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was assured that Allah ta'ala is not displeased with him. So this is our problem, that we have to continue with that effort. We must not give up. And it just requires a little bit, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will pull us towards him with this power of jazb. Yes, I was explaining to you before. Allah ta'ala put it back into my mind. So I explained to this person that there is a reason why this happens. That if this person had to stay in that high all the time enjoying that kind of closeness and that kind of ecstasy and happiness, then there was a danger that this person could become proud and arrogant. Pride could have entered the person's heart. The person could begin looking down upon others. Or the person will now begin to do the ibadat solely so that the person gets that enjoyment and pleasure. So it is no more for the pleasure of Allah now. Now it is for enjoyment and pleasure of the nafs. So it is ibadat, but now it became way for the pleasure of the nafs. So for a certain period of time, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala stops it to bring about that balance again. But if the person continues staying away from sins and doing that which Allah ta'ala has ordered, the person will go back to those stages again. So there are so many different experiences that people then have. So these few things that just came, by the way, we are not going to be discussing this, that the environment should not change us. We should change the environment. We should be strong and bold enough to change the environment. We must make up our mind. People are determined they will run the marathon to Pietermaritzburg from Durban. If they are determined, they are determined. And they will change the minds of others. We can give them 1,000 speeches that it's a very long distance and you may collapse on the way. Your knees will give up and you could fall unconscious. But they will give us 12 speeches to say that no, we can manage it. When a person wants to climb Mount Everest, then he goes up knowing fully well that lots of people died on the way. He knows fully well that lots of people died on the way. But the person is determined, he will climb it. So in the same way, when these people, for worldly reasons, just to get into the Guinness Book of Records, if the person is prepared to do all the most stupid and silliest of things, then for the sake of getting Allah in our lives, to get Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, to get Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat, to get Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's marifat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's muhabbat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's closeness, what is there if we have to make a little effort for a few days, for a few months, for a few years? People say, how long do we have to carry on? How long do we have to carry on? Paband-e-muhabbat kabhi azad nahi hai. Paband-e-muhabbat kabhi azad nahi hai. Is dard ki ay dil koi miad nahi hai. Paband-e-muhabbat kabhi azad nahi hai. The person who is in love is never azad. We don't hear of a person who is in love with someone saying that I will love for 2 days, for 10 days, for 20 days. Is that love? He's not azad. And still that mashuk of his will have so many requests, and those requests will be lifelong because of that love. So there is no duration of time that how long must you love your beloved. Because that person cannot claim to be a lover of his beloved if he is putting a restriction, or if he is saying there's a time limit that I will love you for 5 years and then I will love somebody else. Then we will say that you are my enemy. We are talking in the language that all of you understand, that there is no limit. I mean, which person can say that I love you very much, but it will last for 5 days or 10 days? So in the same way, the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, especially Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this is why in everything we must see ni'mat of Allah. So much so that sometimes when I'm sitting here in the masjid, I say, Ya Allah, what a ni'mat you gave us carpet in the masjid. What a ni'mat you gave us lights. What a ni'mat you gave us a clock, we can see the time. What a ni'mat you gave us wuzu khana, we can make wuzu. What a ni'mat all these things are, because if we go back, a little back, even go to the times, few 50, 60 years ago, 100 years ago, then what were the masjids? There were no toilets, there were no wuzu khanas, there were no carpets. Nothing. Allah Ta'ala gave us so much of ni'mat. Then we look at our clothes, we see, Ya Allah, what ni'mat you have given us. So many people are with torn and tattered clothes. So many of them have got rags, so many of them have got sack on their bodies. And if you go to some of the African countries, they are wearing cement bags. Cement bags around their bodies. They just cut a little bit of piece there, and like how you put kafan, they've just got a long cement bag just to cover their satan. Then we think of our eyes, that Ya Allah, with these eyes I just open and I can see red, blue, green and all colors one time. And I didn't pay anything for it. My ears, I can listen to the voices. My tongue, I can speak. So when we think of ni'mats, then it builds up that muhabbat for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The muhabbat of Allah will be built up the moment we think of the ni'mats that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us. Allah is not there just to punish. He doesn't want to punish. If it was His intention to punish, He would not have sent 124,000 Nabis. He would not have revealed the Quran Sharif to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He would not have sent the Sahaba Ikram throughout the world to go and pass on this message of Deen. And we would not have sent Mashayikh and Ulama-i Haqq and Kitabs and all to us. Allah Ta'ala wants us to head for Jannat. But there has to be some effort. We make effort for everything else. Just a little effort. And there's no real enjoyment. It is just temporary enjoyment. So he says this nafs, as he says, this muhabbat, the person who's got muhabbat for Allah, there is no time limit. You don't say that for 5 years I will do it, Ya Allah, and after that I want a rest. Oh Allah, for 10 years of my life I want to make 5 times namaz, and then give me a break for a few more days after that. I need a bit of rest, fajr time, I need a bit of sleep, extra sleep. There's no such thing. The muhabbat of Allah is such that it will cause that person to get up for the 6th namaz also, tahajjud salat. Allah Ta'ala made only 5 namaz farz, but ask the Ahlullah and the Walis of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that they are restless if they don't make the tahajjud salat, they feel that they have missed out something. From the morning they are waiting for the night. The people are waiting from the morning for the night, the thieves and the burglars and the crooks. They are waiting for the night so that they can break into our homes and they can steal from our cars and they can hijack. They wait for the night. And the Ahlullah also wait for the night. And they wait for the night so that they may connect themselves with Allah Ta'ala. At that time when there is nobody else except this person and Allah, and at that time when he says, Oh Allah, then you can just imagine what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must be giving that person. What Allah Ta'ala gives. Allah Ta'ala sees that this servant of mine, when everybody is snoring and enjoying himself in the deep sleep, and many of them won't be even getting up for Fajr Salat, and this person is getting up for the 6th Salat. It's not farz. You can make it after Isha between the Witr and Sunnat Namaz if you can't get up. But what I'm saying is that there are so many of them that they will make sure that they get up. So many of them. Millions of them. Now who is it that made them get up at that part of the night? So the muhabbat of Allah is such that it will make the person give charities. It will make the person get up for tahajjud, make ishraq and chashtu if possible. It will make that person do so many things which the person without muhabbat cannot do, because it's a steam. This muhabbat is a steam. In muhabbat, the person who can move mountains, he will do anything. So create this muhabbat, then it will be easy to give up the sins. And then always look at those sins as filth, and the moment you commit it, then believe that you are connecting yourself with the Jahannam azab. Immediately. That is the reason why when a person gives charity, when he makes some namaz, when he does something good, straight away Allah Ta'ala gives that person a kind of a happiness inside his heart. Doesn't it happen that you pick up a tasbih and read? And the tasbih also must not be just read subhanallah, 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 as if you are swearing Allah. The tasbih must be read in a way that you are, that it is pleasing to Allah. Therefore nowadays after the Fajr and Asr namaz, I don't even read the full tasbih. Because most of them are finished with the tasbih before you can even read 22 times or 33 times. So now if you are going to read in the way that it should be read, the people will become restless. So at such a time you rather read just 22 times. Or read 11 times each tasbih. And then let the others finish, or you can finish it after that. Because the tasbih also, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah. You are glorifying Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Subhanallah. There's so much in that Subhanallah. There's so much in that Alhamdulillah. There's so much in that Allahu Akbar. Now if we read like that, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, what will we get in that? So these things, muhabbat will make the person do a lot of things. But at least it's pleasing, it's very, very encouraging that young boys, young girls are now writing such kind of things that it pleases you, that that after giving up their evils, what Allah Ta'ala is blessing them with in a short time. Because we are in times of fitna, when it is difficult to stay away from sins, so Allah Ta'ala, out of His mercy and kindness also, gives us very quickly rewards for what we do. But it must be for the pleasure of Allah. If the person is doing it for anything else, then he is not going to get that sukoon and that sakina and all that. One person was not making namaz in the village, so somebody, some alim was going past, and just to encourage him, he told him, he said, well, you make 40 days namaz with jamaat. They said, what will I get? He said, you will get a bull. One bull you will get. So he made namaz. So he said, you'll get a bull or a cow, whatever he promised him. So after 40 days, then this person came, and he says, but I checked in my yard there, there's no bull, there's no cow. For 40 days I made namaz, as you said, and you promised that I will get it. He said, no, that was just to encourage you. It was, where do you get bulls and cows on namaz? So he said, I thought as much, therefore I too didn't make wuzu for the namaz. I thought as much, you were lying. So that's why I too just made the namaz without wuzu. So with that kind of namaz, we're not going to get anything. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, bless me, bless you, bless our parents, our brothers and sisters, our youth, our adults, everyone, and the entire ummah. Allah Ta'ala must connect us so strongly and so firmly with Him that every moment we are concerned that my Allah is pleased or displeased. We do what He is pleased with, we stay away from what He is displeased. Nafs and shaitan must not be able to pull us away. And accidentally we are human beings, will slip, we fall, we err. Therefore sometimes even a sheikh can make mistakes. He's not a farishta. He's not a Rasul of Allah Ta'ala Masum. But there will be a world of difference that if he makes a mistake, and if he is a true and a muttaqi person, then with his error and with his mistake, he's also going to make such kind of tawbah that tawbah will take him higher than what he was at whatever stage he was before. That is the difference. Like some people say that those students of the Darul Uloom, that alim, he did this and he did that, and the other person is also doing it. So what's the difference? I will conclude on this. So the difference is this, that other person who went and sat in the cinema, or he watched that movie, or he indulged in adultery or fornication, or he went to the gambling den, then he was not concerned one bit. He was quite happy, quite proud about it, and in fact sometimes he brags about it, that I won so much in that races. So that is what he did. And this person who is pious, who is righteous, who frequents the masjid, who listens to the bayans, who is trying to reform and change himself, when he makes a mistake, then in the first place, if that person is sincere, then he does not do it openly. He does not do it openly. He tries to hide from people and do it. This is a very sign that this person is concerned. He's got some haya and some shame left at least. And then after that, his conscience worries him. And then he makes so much of tawbah and so much of istighfar, that, Ya Allah, what happened to me? Where I went back to this sin of mine? Where I went into this filth again? He is ashamed. He is shedding tears of repentance. And that takes him higher, to higher stages. So there's nothing to despair. Every person Allah has given us the istidad. You neither have to be rich, nor you have to become poor to be the wali of Allah. Allah Ta'ala has made it so easy that you don't have to become rich to become His wali, and neither does the rich person have to become poor to become His wali. Neither does the strong and fit and healthy person have to become weak and feeble to become wali of Allah, and nor does the feeble and weak and the sick person have to become full of strength and health to become the wali of Allah. Neither does any person have to change any of his normal lifestyle except the giving up of sins and doing those things that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with. Simple as that. So in these holidays especially, try and stay away from all those areas which will attract us towards sin. Because the moment we go one step towards sin, then we get caught up more and more. It becomes like quicksand. And the person begins to sink deeper and deeper until finally it affects his namaz, it affects his zikr, it affects his tilawat, it affects everything of his. And sometimes it goes to such an extent that person then even gives up his iman. He even gives up his iman because he got caught up with some non-Muslim woman, and now he wants to marry that woman, and that woman says, if you change your religion, I will marry you. So sins will not quench the thirst of a person. The desire will not quench. The moment you commit that sin, the desire will increase for the next sin. If you are thirsty, then drink a glass of fresh cold water. It will quench your thirst. But if you drink the water of the ocean, then even if you drink the waters of the seven ocean, the thirst will go on increasing. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect me, protect you, and protect the entire ummah, and give us the tawfiq to do all those things that are pleasing to Him. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Ay Allah, jo kuch humne kaha suna usko tu qubool farma. Oh Allah, give us the strength in our iman. Ya Allah, strengthen our iman to such an extent that it becomes extremely easy for us to do all those things that are pleasing to you, and all those things that are haram and forbidden, it becomes extremely easy to stay away from them. Ya Allah, from all sides we are being lashed by fitnas and corruption and haram and evil. Oh my Allah, which way must we turn? Which way must we look? Ya Allah, from in front of us, from behind us, from the right and from the left, there's nothing but evil, there's nothing but fitnas that are attacking. But oh my Allah, if you want to save and protect anyone, then there is nothing difficult for you. Yes. Our hearts are between your two fingers. Ya Allah, change it in the direction of ibadat, itaat. Ya Allah, Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ki bhi sachi muhabbat naseeb farma. Hamare zahiri batini har guna ko maaf farma. Sagira kabira amadan khataan har guna ko maaf farma. Hum sab ko nek aur ek bana de. Hum sab ko apne qulub ka tazkiya naseeb farma de. Fill our hearts with the noor of taqwa and ibadat. Ya Allah, give us an enjoyment and a pleasure in our ibadat, in our zikr, in our tilawat, and put the hatred of sins into our hearts. Ya Allah, when the time of our death comes, then let the angel of death visit us in a state that you are pleased with us. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.